Right, as the children get settled down back there. And that's, of course, that's the best way to settle them down is give them candy. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As I said before, our text for this morning's message is from our psalm for today. It's actually the psalm for ascension, for the ascension of our Lord. Especially this part. Where is it? Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises to our King, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with a psalm. Sing praise. God reigns over the nations. God sits on his holy throne. The princes of the peoples gather as the people of the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong to God. He is highly exalted. Dear friends in Christ. Now let's face it, you know, in the United States, we haven't really had a great experience with kings. I mean, you know, especially, you know, here. I mean, after all, it's pretty much, how America got founded, right? I mean, it's by revolting against an unjust king in England. And we've had other dealings with kings in the Middle East that have kind of gone sideways. We've had dealings with kings in Russia and kings in Germany early in the last century that actually led us to wars. So why would you and I, why would we want a king today? What good would a king do to us? And why do we hold on to this image that the Bible gives to us with God as our king? So on this day when we celebrate both Mother's Day and the ascension of our Lord, we might ask in particular, why in the world would we want a king who's ascended on high? Let's talk about what a king does. I mean, what a good king is supposed to do and what they do. The first thing a king is that a king wields power. Yeah, every king, every earthly king actually not only wields power, but seeks after power. Earthly kings, well, they want to use their power to bring other people underneath them so that the king can be served and to have his own way. Earthly kings, well, they go to war because there's a group of people who don't agree with him or maybe don't want to bow to his wishes, whether it has to do with trade or land, even cultural disputes. But with God, with Yahweh as our king, as it says there in the second verse, where he says, "For the Lord, the Most High, is to be feared, a great king over all the earth." With Yahweh as our king, since he reigns from on high, let's look at, do you and I see him, how do we see him use his power? Does he use it to oppress us? No, of course not. God does not oppress us. He uses his power just a little bit differently. Now, he does subdue people under him. Let's face that. He does subdue people under him and under his people, as we saw there in verse 3, where he says, "He subdued peoples under us and nations under our feet." This is the psalm. It is the 47th psalm. So he does indeed do this. This psalm actually was written when the Ark of the Covenant was for the festival, when the Ark of the Covenant was brought into Jerusalem for the first time. After David had gone and rescued it, it said that he danced before the Lord with all of his might. He basically stripped down to his underwear and danced before the Ark of the Covenant as it's brought up. This is the psalm that is being sung as he's going up there. So what we see here is that God is going up to the temple. That God is going there. He subdues peoples under us and nations under our feet after David's defeat of the Philistines and bringing the ark back to his people. But he also does it a little differently than that. Not only with conquering armies. See, Yahweh actually rules in the person of Jesus. And whenever the New Testament writes about Jesus' authority and his kingship over all the nations, it's actually coupled and it's connected to his blood, to his death, his resurrection. That's always what it's connected to. When he's talking to you, when they talk about him being a king, it's a king because of his blood, because of his death, because of his resurrection. Not because he's ridden a conquering, you know, a stallion and conquered with armies. It's because he's conquered by his death and resurrection. You see, in all of this, unlike earthly kings, Jesus comes as a servant to serve us, not for us, and not to demand for us to serve him. You see, his service to us and for us was also kind of how he wielded his power. He wielded that power to pardon and to free us from the death sentence that our sin deserved. And yes, we do indeed serve our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as our King, but it's a response of gratitude, not because he demands our service, not because he says, you must serve me. You see, Jesus as our King is a lot different from life under the power of earthly kings. He serves us. He frees us. He gives us what we could never have. And yet, he even gives us more, especially his presence and his protection. And see, and we have to, and we all understand, a good king provides protection. And the image that we see of kings, and especially throughout the world, is that kings live in castles, right? Kings live in high castles. If you go to England or Germany or elsewhere with these wonderful, amazing examples of castles, what do they look like? Well, they're big, foreboding, strong, impenetrable walls. Of course, I mean, let's face it, that's why they're still standing, right? After all these years. There's these huge, these large buildings. But and our idea, of course, is that it appears to us to be maybe just a standalone building, but the reality is a little different. Most castles were actually part of a city and stood at the center of that city. Surrounding the whole city, and not just the castle, were the city walls. That was how the king provided protection for his people, that he constructed a wall to keep the bad guys out, the enemies out. Well, let's ask this question about Jesus. Is he, since our Lord has ascended on high, is he this idea, is he foreboding? Is he overbearing? Does he stand apart from us? Well, no. That's not the way our King reacts. His protection actually, his protection of us actually far exceeds any city walls would. And while a lot of people might argue that we're not protected, since they really only look at worldly enemies and the threat that they pose, the enemy from which Jesus protects us is much stronger and much more dangerous than any terrorist could ever be. And it's by Jesus' death and when he reconciled us to God, it's by his death that we are protected from the schemes of Satan, from the schemes of the tyranny of Satan. This protection by our King Jesus, it isn't confined to a certain place like this church building or even your home or even your car. It's not confined to that one spot. His protection is in accord. His protection is where his presence is. Where God's presence is, that's where you can find refuge. And through his power and protection, we can see that as our king, God actually provides so much more than any earthly king or kingdom could offer. Jesus' reign goes throughout the world. It's widespread and gives us what we need each and every day. As Luther describes it, he daily and richly provides us with all that we need to support this body and life in his explanation of the Lord's Prayer. He gives us everything that we need. So we see that the king... As the king wields power, that he provides protection, but he also a king also gives order to his people. You know, let's face it, in any society, if without order, the results are basically chaos and anarchy. There's nothing but anarchy if there is no order. So what happens is kings provide the order that their people need through laws, through edicts, and stuff like that. And they establish the military and police forces to help to enforce their laws and to help bring order to their kingdoms. It's so that people can live together in harmony. So does our King Jesus, since he's ascended on high, does he lord his law over us? No. God undoubtedly, of course, does reign over us, and he brings us under and brings us order through his law. He absolutely does do that. But his law is different from that of earthly kings. When Jesus was asked which commandment was the greatest, he actually quoted Deuteronomy, and he said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." And then he said, "Love your neighbor as yourself." Jesus' reign over his people is so much different than the laws of a state or a country. Most laws will actually tell us what not to do, right? And if you look at the Ten Commandments, most of them will say, "You shall not." I mean, let's be honest. Most laws tell us what not to do, but Jesus' laws, God's law, actually stems out of his love for us. And love, I think, is the most important word here. Jesus' law stems out of his love for us, and it points us toward what we can do in order to love God and to love our neighbor. And so this does indeed bring order into our society, into our lives. But it also reflects what his reign is like towards us, what his kingship to us is like. He brings us freedom. He gives us protection. And his rule is one of love and concern for you and for me. And it's shown in his cross when he dies, when the king dies for his people, in his people's place. You see, the King of Kings doesn't merely rule over us who are Christians as well. I mean, he also rules over all of the earth. That's what it says there in verse 7. "For God is the King of all the earth." In verse 8, God reigns over the nations. He reigns over the whole earth. So does Jesus, our King, since he's ascended on high, set us up as distant, as apart from him? No. His reign, his rule, his power, his protection, and his love isn't intended solely for you and for me. It's not intended just for us sitting here. It's given actually to the whole world. Christ didn't just die for the elect. Christ died for all. Christ died for the whole world. You see, Jesus God, Yahweh, is king over all the earth. Now, not everybody, of course, is going to recognize Jesus' reign immediately. They're not. But God still works throughout all of the earth. He still works in our lives. He still works to bring every person under His good reign, His good protection, His good power. God actually does something really strange. He works through people like you and me. Hopefully flawed, sinful human beings is who God works through. He works through us to display, to show what this reign looks like to the world. And He gives us the words and the actions to convey this to the world. Not always easy to do that. What we see here in this psalm today is God showing us who He is as our King. That Jesus, our King, or we can even call Him King Jesus, comes to us as a King, holy and righteous, dies for us, rises again, and last Thursday, 40 days after the resurrection, rises up into heaven, ascends into heaven to sit at the right hand of God the Father. And now the work that He started continues with us, even as in our first lesson today, it continued with the apostles there in Acts. And all of the things that He's done for us, what we can see is that Jesus as our King is different from all of the earthly kings. And even though there's going to be similarities between Jesus and good earthly kings, Jesus far exceeds the rule of even the very best of kings. His ascension into heaven was to sit on His throne as the rightful King. The King who was crucified, who is risen, the King of all the earth. So today, clap, shout, blow the trumpet, rejoice in Jesus as King over all of the earth. In His name, amen and amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, now and always. Amen.